So from where you sit, what are our biggest barriers to equity?
I think one of our biggest barriers to equity in APS is designing systems that support all students. So from a continuum of sort of universal core instruction all the way through advanced for our kids who are identified gifted, and in between some of our students who are identified with disabilities, and really providing a continuum of services that kids can move through to be working, always working towards that advanced level. I think that's one of our biggest barriers. I think one of our other barriers to equity is, I think, resources. So I think we look at resources. And I think one of my questions is, how are we getting the resources to the people who are in front of kids every day? And how are they learning how to use those resources to build capacity in themselves as educators and for our students? One of the other, I think, barriers is, we just talked about this, is time in front of our teachers for differentiated professional development.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a barrier in terms of equity, is getting in front of our teachers more and providing quality professional learning opportunities so that they build their skill set.
Yeah, so you sort of see these three big barriers of the full scope of students and being able to support them where they are and moving them into you know, sort of with rigor and being able to advance them along. The barrier of resources and making sure the resources get to the right people at the right time. I think you included both students and teachers in that. And then also looking at it from the lens of, how is it that we provide enough time and space for teachers to be able to learn how to use those resources, or perhaps how to do things differently? I'm interested in maybe tackling that first one a little bit. So you have this huge range of students who have all different needs. How can you truly support all of the needs that you see across the different students and student types? I mean, obviously you may look at it from the perspective of, you know, you present this way, so this is maybe a support that might be valuable to you. How can you do that?
I think that's where our P20 support team members come in helping support those processes in schools. So our MTSS partners in helping teams design multi-tiered systems of support that support behavior and instruction. And so how, and looking at universal instruction, looking at tier 2 instruction, looking at tier 3 instruction, and then into that evaluation process if necessary for a student with maybe a possible disability, and then providing the resources that student needs in terms to close the gaps. I mean, it is a huge continuum. And then on the other end of the spectrum, I think we just went through an external review for gifted education. And I think some of our findings were that there's places where we're differentiating instruction and providing rigor. We should be providing rigor along the continuum.
Sure.
But to really, how are we pushing those students to advanced places for work.
So if you are supporting every different type of child, you were speaking specifically about those gifted students who needed more more rigorous assignments or different kinds of tasks, do you feel like all students need to have a plan of support that is specific to them in the same way that we might support students with IEPs or advanced learning plans? Do you feel like that is a need for all students to have that level of planning?
I think we have to plan for all kids. And I think with, you know, our strategic plan, kids having plans, I think is important, because then we're meeting them where they're coming to us at. you know, haven't been in school. You know, there's a lot of nuances to some of the students. We are a diverse population, and so I think our alignment with the strategic plan is with kids having plans is important to support their development towards those post-workforce readiness skills. Mm-hmm. And I think anywhere along the continuum from our gifted kids actually to our most impacted students, and how are we going to make them as independent as possible in the community with adult independent living. So I do feel like that the plan is important, and it helps us individualize and build relationships and rapport with students when we know them well and we know exactly what they need. Hmm.
So let's say that the students have a plan, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we've said that they should, right? Like, mm-hmm. that makes sense. You were talking about the barrier of not having the resources, perhaps, mm-hmm. in order to execute on those plans. Mm-hmm. How do you feel like we should be empowering teachers or students to be able to better advocate for those resources, or to be able to simply just ask, like, this is what we need in our classrooms, how can we do that, and how can we better sort of allow for that advocacy to really take hold?
So, I mean, I think it's important. I think working with our kids at a very young age on being able to advocate for themselves, mm-hmm. With our students like who are piloting the plans in fourth and fifth grade, I think that lends itself to that advocacy. Mm-hmm. We always want kids on IEPs to participate in our IEP meetings, so they're learning those self-advocacy skills. And I think also on, you know, with our gifted learners, you know, we're encouraging them to participate in their advanced learning plans so that they have those self-advocacy skills that move them towards their post-work, you know, their post-workforce readiness outcomes. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things is teaching kids how to identify what they need.
Mm-hmm. How do you do that? How do you support kids in either knowing what they need or just identifying?
I think that through that IEP process, uh-huh. that you're working with that student saying, you know, do you know what your accommodations are? Do you know if you need modifications for anything? Are you using assistive technology? Are you getting support using assistive technology to help you access general ed curriculum?
Yeah.
I think those are all important things, especially our special education teachers need to work with on students. Hmm.
Well, I feel like you definitely have tackled this question, and provided, you know, some ways of getting around those barriers, quite frankly. I'm interested in what your question is that you would want us to be tackling together. What is the question that you think that we as APS should really be asking and trying to answer?
Again, I'm going to go back to I guess my question is, how are we ensuring that the work we're doing across the district and across P20 communities are getting down to the boots on the ground? So getting down to teachers and then getting to students. Mm-hmm. I think that's my question is, how are we doing that?
How are we having impact and supporting teachers directly in classrooms and students.
Exactly, so that we actually see students closing the achievement gap. Mm.
Yeah, I think that if we were asking and answering that question on a daily basis, that changes the conversation a little bit. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that's a question that you could ask of colleagues that you see every day?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think as we walk through classrooms, mm-hmm. Together with different members of our team, I think those are the questions we have to ask is, you know, we have all this work going on. What are we seeing in classrooms?
Yeah.
And how are we having those collaborative conversations about what am I noticing that students and teachers are doing in classrooms? Mm-hmm.
And I think that shared language, the shared knowledge of what it looks like, and also that relationship that you're building with those teachers that you're seeing, I think that it changes the conversation fundamentally from an us and them, or from we are trying to figure out the things, you are trying to do the things,
yep.
And really makes that a lot more collaborative in nature. Absolutely. Well, I really appreciate your time.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.